Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has great things in store for those who trust Him, who love Him, who operate in His ways. Consider this: everybody who trusts the Lord and act on His word, they are always mounting up spiritual wealth in their life because they are fruitful as a way of life. And people don't understand how easy it is to receive from the Lord. When Jesus said, "Buy me gold," you know, as you're down here trying to live a life that you know that's important to you, just trying to live a life that's important to you, and trying to raise a family, raise your children right, be a blessing to your spouse, and do the things that make sense. You're not even trying to become a wealthy person or something, but you're just trying to live. When you let your light shine, you're being fruitful. Letting your light shine is being Christ-like. Because Jesus is fruitful, He went about doing good, and He was motivated from the inside out. I like to point out that Jesus spent time with His Father. He sought the counsel of all the prophets, even the Psalms that David wrote. He responded to what God gave him. He was very faithful with everything that God gave him. Everything that proceeded out of the mouth of the Father, he was faithful with. He had to believe what the word said about him. He had to understand the Father's will and what and the purpose of it. And he was anointed. He didn't do any notable works until he was anointed. See, he followed protocol. He was baptized by John. Sometimes people try to jump protocol. Boom, boom, boom. Their pattern of life, they're trying to jump, make something that be something that they're not. But Jesus didn't do that. He stuck to the Father's will. He said, "I don't do anything of myself. I do what I see my Father do. I say what I hear my Father say." So he followed protocol. Very important. When people don't follow protocol, they make a terrible mess of things. And so Jesus is the way we do things. We don't do things like the devil. The devil tried, you know, when we first met him in the garden. But the Lord explained him how he was way before the garden. Way before God had to judge the earth the first time. In Satan's flood. Or Lucifer's flood. When the Lord said, "Let there be light," that he was cleaning up the mess he made after judging Lucifer. That was Lucifer's flood. But see, Jesus follows protocol. Jesus seeks redemption for mankind. Satan does not. Now let's look what Jesus said here. He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." See, he's talking about the lukewarm church, which are basically tares at this point. They became tares by allowing the ways of the world to infiltrate them. Now, I don't say that lightly. The Lord told me they were tares. And if it's a shock to you, it was a shock to me. But if you go back to the audio page 6, I put it this way. Last fall, the Lord dealt with me about the end of summer. He dealt with me about the lukewarm church, and I taught a lot about it. So the last broadcast of audio page 6, mid to the last, I talked a lot about that. So if you want to see what he said in those broadcasts, go back there, audio page 6. Now let's go back and look at what he's talking about here. He said, unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish that thou were cold or hot, good or bad, you know. Well, hot being better, I believe. Cold is worse. He wants you to be on fire for him. Verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now look at this. Now, when I teach this, it's the opposite of what God told Adam to do in the first place. So how could they become the opposite? He said, because thou, you say, I'm rich and increased with goods, they have possessions and have need of nothing. So they esteem themselves to be wise because they are wealthy in possessions. He said, and know not. Now watch that word, know not. They don't know. Their assessment is off and they don't know it. And knowest not that thou art wretched. That's the opposite of being fruitful. Miserable. That's the opposite of being of multiplying. Poor. That's definitely the opposite of replenishing the earth. And blind. That's, again, that's the opposite of subduing. How can a blind man subdue anything? It would take, of him. See, it's just not going to happen. And naked. They are stripped. They have no dominion, no authority. And then they don't even know their condition. So tares are among the wheat. So they became the opposite of God's will because they allow things of the world in their life. So we get to the redemption part. Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Not just rich in possessions, but in life. And white raiment, that represents righteousness, that thou mayest be clothed, because they were unrighteous. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And then he said, well, see, when people are stripped and they don't know it, that's bad. Then he said, and anoint thine eyes with thy salve that thou mayest see. See, God wants to redeem. Then he said this, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So he loves people that are not his. He loves people that have went rogue, just like he loved us. Just like the Father loved Jesus. The love of Jesus is very strong. But see, people drift into conditions and don't realize it. And I want to point out why. All right, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It's better to be chastened now and rebuked now than to fall off the cliff. Because when people fall off the cliff, Lord, why didn't I know? Why didn't you tell me? Well, he sent people, but if their heart is too hard, they won't receive it. You have to receive God's word, and the word has to become part of you for you to act on it. That way you'll be fruitful. But you can't be fruitful if you believe a bunch of if you believe lies instead of the truth. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is very important because God is moving by his Spirit, and we need to operate in his likeness. His likeness is very important for us. See, I just read those scriptures in Revelation 3 to show that Jesus does things by protocol. If people get off track, he's going to say something. They can't. The enemy is slick. If you side with his ways in any form, it will leaven you to the point that you come out being just like him, and you think you're of God, and you're not. See, the things of God are one. If I always tell people this, if it don't fit Genesis, it don't fit. Everything God did in the beginning is the way to do things. What he did in the restoration week is what he's doing in the covenant week. What he did in the first place is what he does throughout the word of God. His mind is on redemption, redeeming man. He wants man to live in his image. Jesus equipped us to be fruitful. He said, let your light shine. You don't have to make it shine. It would do it. Just don't stop it. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you can ask what you will. Why? Because you're in link. You're linked to the Lord. Your will becomes an extension of his. Your ways become an extension of his. The type of person you are and carry yourself becomes an extension of God. Because Jesus joins you to the Father. And you're already made in his image. And so is everybody else, even the tares. Everybody's made in God's image. And they need to be doing God's will. See, Jesus follows protocol. Satan breaks protocol. Don't forget that. And if you allow some of Satan's ways, it will leaven you to the point that you can't do God's work anymore. Now, if you study St. John chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10, Jesus pointed out many wonderful truths here. Now, this is John 7, verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. This scripture proves that Jesus does things by the counsel of the Father. He does what God directs him to do. This is why he could go about doing good. And this is why the worldly people hate him. See, the people of this world, they don't understand what they're walking into. They don't understand the trap that they're trapped by. Now, I've been reading this word that God gave me a few weeks ago. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. Now, he was responding to a question I asked. How could a man be so evil? And the Lord pointed out, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. And I didn't, when he told me that they have one thing in common, I asked him, what is it, Lord? He said they share an unconditional enmity with God, and that's not always notable. It's not always noticed by the person that loves the world. So leaven grows slow and fast. It grows without notice. That's why people become who used to love God and love going to church. They end up doing it as a habit or even reluctantly. Because they lost their passion for the love of life. And then they become an enemy of love. You see, if you have enmity with God, you're going to have enmity with love. You're going to have enmity with wisdom. You're going to have forms of enmity against the knowledge of God, the holiness of God. They start compromising here and there. Then they have enmity with God's people. They have enmity with prophecy. Because they don't want Jesus to come. They want to play in the world. They don't want the things of God to happen according to God's standards because they are in enmity with God. And if he came, if he showed up in his bright glory in that condition, they'll be running from the Lord. Even people that say they're of God. Even in every other religion, they're going to cast their bats, idols to the back. Everything they were devoted to that's not like Jesus, they're going to try to run from Jesus all at once. Even tares. See, when the rapture happens and the Lord take his people, the people will be able to see the glory cloud. And they're going to want to run from it. When Jesus come and touch the earth, everybody that's not like him is going to run in terror. Even preachers that have gone off track. Wolves. That 2 Peter talked about in chapter 2 and Jude talked about. They will run when the glory, when the real glory of God comes, the authentic glory of God comes, they're going to run as in terror, because nobody has to tell you that that you're wrong in the light. This is why people have enmity with wolves and tares. They have a problem with people that's authentic. And if they don't humble that, if they don't humble themselves and go back to the love of God, they will have people that love God will, they're going to have enmity against them. It's just the way it is. Now, I have to talk about this a lot this season because the Lord's about to return. Also, people don't know the condition. It's hard to tell. So, if you're following God because you love Him, you're making the difference God needs you to make, and you're able to make a difference. Now, there's more to that word I had given. I've given it another broadcast, but well, listen, now look at it again. You may be interested. He said, all who love the world system have one thing in common. They share an unconditional enmity with God. No matter how hard they attempt to hide it, it is there. Only people who believe God love God. Only people who seek the Lord through Jesus Christ with faith know God. All who love the world have enmity against God, and they will not enter in the glories of the Lord. This means they won't choose to enter in when they see better. They'll stay outside of it. Sometimes people see that the ways of God work, but they stay on the outskirts by choice. So people who love the world, they also won't enter into the glories of God, of the Lord. Then he continued, nor can they value it. They don't enter in and they don't value it. That's two problems. They will never yield. That's the worst problem. And they are opposite, just like the Laodicean church. But Cain, they still name Jesus' name, but they have become opposite of who he really is. And don't think that, you know, that was the last church listed, but it also is relevant for the time we live in. Remember, Paul said there would be a great falling away. So it happened. Okay. They are opposite. They are fallen. That's why the Lord told me they were tares. I said, wow. I never thought about them as tares. I thought they were God's people, but they were unlike God in every way. They were naked. They didn't have covenant. So they didn't have authority. They didn't have any righteous clothes on. They were blind and naked. No covenant, no authority, no light. He told them to put to buy gold so they'll be rich, and put on clothes so they, you know, white clothes, so that, which represents righteousness. And you can't have the white clothes in heaven if you're not righteous. You have to be washed in the blood, and they were not. They were once washed in the blood, but they walked away from the things of God, because God, he talked to them as if they were once his people, and he loved them. But they went outside the order of God. They broke protocol, just like Satan did, and for the same reasons. Okay, they were continuing. They remain fallen, saith the Lord. One time he told me, in the season I was talking about earlier, he said, you can't get a lukewarm person saved at this point. He was telling me that. He said, there's nothing you can do to help them. Okay, he said, they are not subject to me, nor can they be. Only those who love and come to truth will receive salvation. All others will reject it according to the parable of the sower. Now, Jesus gave three reasons why people stay in the outskirts. Those are the very same three reasons people become tares, satanic. They become wolves, a graduated tare, or satanic. They do it because their heart is hard. Or the word was sown in a stony heart, or they let the cares of this word choke the word, and they become unlike Jesus, unfruitful. Or wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the end game of Satan's scheme. Now let's look at what the Lord does. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. So Jesus was always receiving protocol from the Father, what to say, what to teach, where to go, when to do what, what disciples to choose, even Judas, everything lined up with what the prophet said. He said, if any man would do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now look at 17 again. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So Jesus is sticking to what God said. Lucifer did not. Lucifer broke protocol. He said, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Jesus answered unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave you unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every which way whole on the Sabbath day? Now healing is more important than the circumcision. They were hypocrites. He said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments. That's one thing that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. He doesn't judge by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but with righteousness will he make judgments. That's Isaiah 11. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? See, they were seeking to kill him. The enmity I just read about is real. And the reason people don't kill Christians in this country is because it's against the law. It's not because they don't want to. And they still murder their character. They speak evil of them. He said, but look, or lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Doeth the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ comes, no man knoweth whence he is. And that's not true, because it was prophesied where Jesus would come from. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know where I came from, or whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. That's verse 30. Now they just tried to say that they didn't. In verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil, who goeth about to kill thee? Verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour is not yet come. The enmity was there. They tried to hide it, but it's there. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? Then the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little, seest me an isolated who was really hating him, the Pharisees were. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I am with you, and then I go to him that sent me. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. See, they can't go to heaven. They can't. Okay, let's look at the protocols of Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14. See, in the ways of your goings and comings and everywhere you the way you organize your life and the things you accept as truth must be love-based in order to be of the Father. Isaiah 14. Lucifer was a beautiful angel. I don't know all of the details of how wonderful he was, but through tradition, people say he was the next thing to Jesus, or he was the best. You know, I've heard a lot of good men of God believe that. That's not true. Lucifer was not nowhere near close to the Son of God. Now remember, the Son of God always was. He was the Word of God before he was, before he became flesh, became the Son of Man. He was the fourth man in the fire. Lucifer was nowhere near him. Now let's look at this. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," now watch this, "I will ascend into the heaven." The heaven he's talking about is a realm above where he is. He said, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." If he had to do that, why would he have to exalt his throne above the stars of God if he was over them? Consider this. He said, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." There's a meeting place in the heavenlies where the sons of God, or the where the sons of God go and meet God and give an account for what they've been doing and what they want to do, or whatever the protocol is. And I'm gonna come back to that. Then the fourth thing he said, "I was ascend above the heights of the clouds." That's a realm above the great congregation. Then he said, "I will be like the Most High." Now, I started saying, "Lord, what is the great congregation that Lucifer was talking about?" So I went and looked it up in Hebrew, and it had many different definitions. And there are several definitions throughout the Word of God. See, when David met with his with the captains of his armies, they call that the great congregation. And sometimes when Israel met to listen to Moses, that was like a great congregation. All right. In the heavenlies, the angels, remember in Job chapter 1, the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. That was a great congregation. And they have a meeting place where they do this. Now, the temple of that Ezekiel was talking about, it pointed out a special place for the sons of Zadok in the sides of the north. And then there's a section above that. See, just like the temple, it represents the meeting place of these angels. That's what I got from it. There's a meeting place. And see, Satan wants to be in charge. He's driven by this madness. People that are like him, the people that are lukewarm, they always want to be in charge. They want to be the best. They want to outdo others. They want to be the best God got. Those are bad motives. I want to do everything that God give me to do. I want to do my part and do it well. And I really sincerely desire that everybody else do even better, especially the next generation. Because if we do our job right, the people we're teaching, they're gonna get what it took me years and decades to get. They get that in a few hours. Then if they're wise, like the Bereans, and they study the Word of God, then God can use them in greater ways. I'm happy because more people are going to come to know the Lord and not fall in that pit. It's not about preeminence to me. It's about souls. People that become satanic, they're concerned about how they look and appear. I'm looking at, I want to win souls. I don't care about the pomp and prestige. If I do my job, And I want to give God my, God gave me his best. He always did. He always will. I want to give him my best. So when we yield to the Holy Spirit, he will cause us to put things in motion that the devil can't reverse. And then the next generation will pick it up. And then the Holy Spirit will be able to use them faster. With lesson, I'm showing you what to watch out for in life. I've seen so many wonderful works of God start to mount up. God was getting preparing people for a great move of God. And then somebody get into petty jealousy, start backbiting, start a dissension, try to start another church, and mess the whole thing up. You know, Perry Stone pointed out something that the churches that lead the wrong way and start a ministry in spite, they never gain over 250 members. Just like the sons of Korah. They raised up a lot of gainsaying against Moses. The earth swallowed them up. I think it was 250 of them. I respect that because he's been around a long time. And he's seen it. People that split churches, their ministry never makes it over 250 members. I said, wow, that's true. Come to find out, you know, look like I've seen the same kind of scenario. But when you do things God's way and you live to in his love, if you're living without preeminence, you're living without an ugly weight, a heavy weight. Jesus said, the Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Having the wrong motives is a terrible thing to have. And we need to lose that kind of weight and the sin that goes with it. But keep the heart of God and the protocols of Jesus. Oh, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ.